joyful time in the presence of the Lord this morning as always. Well, no wonder the Bible says, in the Lord's presence is the fullness of joy. What we need to do is to learn how to tap into it every time. Praise the Lord. So I thought this morning, God's resources are inexhaustible. Amen. God's resources are inexhaustible. Throughout the scripture, we find accounts over accounts in which God, by supernatural means, provided for his people. Indeed, one of the seven great redemption names of our God that he revealed to Israel was that he is Jehovah Jireh. Praise the Lord. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. That is in Genesis 22, verse 7. We are coming to a time in the history of this world, that more than any other time before, we have to depend upon the Lord. 22 of Genesis, verse 7. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father, and said, My father. And he said, Here I am, my son. And he said, Behold, the fire and the wood. But where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide. Amen. That's a key word as the issue crisis right now. He did it in the beginning, he did it at the end. God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went, both of them together. And Abraham called, verse 14 now. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord, it shall be seen. So we see Father Abraham right there. You know, it says Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. We're talking about the God's resources being inexhaustible. Well, there is such a thing as the faith of Abraham, you know. Bible says that Abraham believed God, right? Many of his times, God didn't say Abraham understood God. Do you know that? We try to understand God when we are called to believe God, amen? Not to begin to understand. How many of God can you understand of all the mysteries of God, you know? What we need to know, the Bible, he gave it to us. Praise the Lord. The calling is to believe God. Abraham wasn't called to understand God, you know? Try to understand God. We didn't have made a move at all. He just believed God. He took God at his word. So that's, you know, the faith of Abraham. Now, David himself, the psalmist, 23 of Psalms, verse 1. You know, the man of God, the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. He has to declare this to himself. Many times I can see him. Say that to himself many times. So, you know, he was a person of means, you know. And when being a fugitive from Saul, he had to believe God and trust God, you know, wherever he was going, you know. And I know God never failed him, you know. Talking about God's resources are inexhaustible. I'll come to it quickly. Now, going further, the Lord himself. So he says, the Lord is my shepherd, right? And in John 10, verse 11, the Lord said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. In Romans 8:32, he that spare not his own son, but deliver him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Don't have to do anything. Freely give us all things. Yes, the work is finished, you know. No, all things really. No matter what you need, God is more than willing to give it to you and through us. Even to the kingdom. As he said, little flock, fear not. It's your father's good pleasure to even give you the kingdom itself. Praise the Lord. Let us open our heart to the Lord. Resources are inexhaustible. Now, in John 10:10, he even said it, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. See that? So, everything he does, his resources and blessings are inexhaustible, you know. Now, so let's go to the, right from the beginning. One of the first miracles of supply recorded in the Bible was the sending of the manna. See? And, as you will see, that manna from heaven was inexhaustible. In Exodus 16, verse 4, then said the Lord unto Moses, Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day. Bible said, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. 36 verse says, 6 days ye shall gather it, meaning the manna, but on the seventh day, which is the Sabbath, in it there shall be none. God told that there be none on the Sabbath, there be no manna falling on the Sabbath day. So what I said to do on the Sabbath day, are they to fast on that day? No, cannot to fast. He has made provision for the Sabbath day too. Praise the Lord. Where the provision is in the 29th verse. He says, see, for that the law has given you the Sabbath. Therefore, he giveth you on the sixth day the bread of 2 days. See? So he made provision for the Sabbath day where they don't have to go anywhere but to rest, you know, of 2 days. So that was it. So they abide, ye every man in his place. Let no man go out of his place on the seventh day. So on the sixth day, God gave provision for 2 days, including the Sabbath, right? So now, this miracle of manna was witnessed by the king of Israel over a space of 40 years. Talking of the inexhaustible resources of the Almighty God. For 40 years, over 2.5 million people witnessed this miracle, demonstrating the inexhaustible resources of the Almighty God. See? Like we said, the Lord instructed them that to gather certain amounts each day, right? You know, and only on the Sabbath they ought not to gather. Notwithstanding, you know, human nature being what it is, you know, some of them we gather over and above and store them in their houses and so on, contrary to divine revelation. They were thinking, oh, just in case the manna won't come tomorrow, you see, you know, they didn't want to depend upon God, right? God has told you, so they will store it. God has warned them, just get what you need. And when they did, what happened to it? The thing bred warm, you know, the thing stank and bred warm, you know, the Bible says so. That is in, I believe it's in verse 20, Exodus 16:20. Notwithstanding, they hearkened not unto Moses, but some of them left of it until the morning, and it bred warm and stank, and Moses was wrong with them, you see. Now, so others now, they were indolent, they were lazy. They didn't gather enough, and so they didn't gather the two rations on the sixth day. They got two rations. They didn't, because they were so lazy and so on. They said they will go out on the next day, and then they go and gather more manna, right? But God has warned you, on that Sabbath day, you know, there is no manna at all, you know? Was it true? Truly enough, some of them didn't do it. So, you know, human nature. So, truly enough, when he went out on the seventh day, there was no manna there, just as God has said. So, this is telling us how we should follow instructions, you know, of the law. The supernatural supply of the manna remained inexhaustible in that it only ceased when it was no longer needed. You see, if they were to go for 100 years and so on, it will never cease. As God didn't cease, you know, you cannot exhaust the resources of God Almighty. So are you and I, you know. So you see, human nature. This is illustrated by the fact that the very day the children of Israel ate the corn of the land of Canaan marked the end of the manna. So as long as I need, God will supply, amen. Put it in the back of your mind, no matter what you need, in as much as I need. He is Jehovah Jireh, amen. The Lord our provider. We can never exhaust his resources. So that is in Joshua 5:10. You can read it for yourself, that the manna continued coming down until they eat of the corn of the land, then the manna ceased. That is in Joshua chapter 5:10-12, to save time. So by the miracle of the manna, the Lord taught us what? The lesson of daily dependence on him. Amen. God wants you and I to depend upon him, you know. So also, not only that, we must follow the specific instructions to draw out of his inexhaustible resources. So any miracle, think about any miracle in the Bible. The same is true of receiving any miracle from the Lord. Look at all the miracles the Lord performed. He will give specific instruction to the man with the withered hand. Stretch forth your hand. If you don't stretch it, it will remain there forever, you know. When they do, they got healed. Praise the Lord. To the blind man, go to the Sea of Siloam and go and wash your eyes there. Make it clear and wash it and put it on the side. If he went there, then he was healed. Even in the Old Testament, you know, there was that, you know, the Syrian army, the kind of the Syrian army, you know, came to Elisha, the prophet, of whom we are going to say more in this series here this morning, you know. So, and go to the river and so on, and go and wash yourself 7 times. That's the instruction. To receive a miracle, there must be, God has given some instruction about this miracle. Follow them to the letter as God gave them, and you have a miracle in your hands all the time, whenever we say, amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. So the lepers, you know, go and show yourself to the high priest. Can you see now? Every miracle, God has an instruction for it, you know. As they went, they were made whole. Praise the Lord. Let us learn the principle of that. Whatever God says, there is something you need in this world that you can't find in this Bible, you know. So just follow the instruction thereof and rest yourself. No, don't, there's no more struggling about anything. Find what God says. Man shall live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That set you is forever. If God said that you are healed by his stripes, that will set it forever for you. Amen. Just stay and rest in him. There's no more struggle. You know, praise the Lord. So we see that there. So and that go for any kind of miracle you need. Got nothing to do with it. He has finished it all. Now, how about the lesson of the inexhaustible meal in the widow's barrel? See, Elijah, you never finish telling Elijah's story. Why? Because it's one of two people in the old Bible said that come to this world, do some things according to divine providence, and we come again and add to it. Only two of them the Bible mentioned, you know. So, and he's coming again to add to his testimony. Praise the Lord. Yeah. And the ministry for God, you know, lesson 11 said that, and so on. You know, another person is Moses. So, but tonight, I mean, this morning, let's see this miracle of inexhaustible of God's resources in him, in his life. And so, Elijah, the prophet, needed a sanctuary. During the time, he was a fugitive from Ahab, the king of Israel, while the great famine was on. That he himself proclaimed, right? They call the people with that. They follow Baalism, right? You know, they now deserted God, the Jehovah God. Now they are serving idols and so on, like that, you know. So anyway, and the Lord's command during the famine, Elijah was to hide himself by the brook Cherith. And twice a day, see, the ravens brought him flesh to eat. That is in 1 Kings 17:5. These things, you know, because we are coming to a time near the time of the translation now, that's so that, you know, we don't know. We need the financial supply of the Lord. Praise the Lord. See, let us watch what's going on here, you know. And God took care of him. God will take care of you, take care of me, take care of those who are true to him. Amen. You need not fear anything as the Lord God Almighty lives. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Because he lives, we shall live also. Praise the Lord. All we need to do is to hear what he says and follow his instructions, and then we are safe. We are secure. Praise the Lord. Now, so, and the Lord's command during that famine, so he had the by the children, but this did not go on indefinitely. That raven feeding by the brook cherry didn't go on indefinitely. For after some time, the Bible tells us, the brook dried up. Without water, Elijah was perished, right? Because I didn't know that no water anywhere. So, no. Could the Lord have prevented the brook from drying up? Absolutely, yes. He could do it, amen? Mm-hmm. You don't tell him what to do, really, amen? Praise the Lord. As you walk with him, he will show you what to do, step by step. He will guide you with his eye, amen? Amen. David knew the secret too, Psalm 32. Say, I will guide you with my eye. I will instruct thee in the way which you shall go. Amen? Just open your spiritual ears, hearken unto him. He will speak, said the Lord. You know, I will speak and I will guide you, you know? So anyway, so you can do it. Or could the Lord have provided an alternative water supply for Elijah? Absolutely, yes. So when Moses, I said, when we are talking about water, he did it before. Moses did the chain of Israel through the wilderness and so, talking about water, right? Could he have provided an absence of water for Elijah? Yeah, he could have done it. He did it 2 times for about 2.5 million people. When Moses led them by the wilderness and so on, we see that in Exodus 17:6, behold, Bible says, I will stand before thee 2 times when there was no water in the desert. 2.5 million people God provided for them. Could have done it for Elijah too if he wanted to do it that way. So, behold, I will stand before thee, he told Moses, there upon the rock in Horeb. And thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it, that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. Let an unbeliever be say it's a mistake. Maybe just an accident, you know. Now, at the matter of two or three witnesses. God did it again. Second time, you know, in number 28. Not an accident. It's an absolute miracle from the Almighty. God cares for his people, and he cares for you and I. First Peter told us, the Bible says, casting all our cares upon him, for he cares for us. Praise the Lord. Blessed be the Lord. So now, in second time, in Numbers 20, verse 8, again, told Moses, take the rod, and gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother, and speak ye unto the rock before their eyes. And it shall give forth its water, and thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock. So thou shalt give the congregation and their beast to drink. One time we expanded on that so much on that particular verse and so on. We are told in 1 Corinthians 10:4, the drink of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Praise the Lord Jesus. You can't divide them into three, just the same and one God Almighty. So for Elijah now, come back to Elijah now. So for Elijah, God provided an alternate means of sustaining him. So at the end of the age we are in right now, he will have to sustain us, sustain the elect of God in this age, you know. So this sustenance of Elijah was recorded in the beautiful story of the widow's faith. That is one of the Bible classic story, really, you know, and we talked about it this morning, you know. And the prophet was commanded to go to a widow of Zarephath who would sustain him. Bible says, upon arrival, Elijah found that the widow was one of the poorest of the inhabitants of that country, and apparently the most unlikely prospect he could have found to give him help. Did I hear from the Lord that a common Christian today, did I really hear from the Lord? You know, or was it a mistake? Not Elijah. You know, he had the word of the Lord. So, you know what it was that he had from the Lord. So, anyway, in fact, she and her son had, they have only what they left between them. No, they were just near starvation, this woman and her son. They were nearing starvation at that time when Elijah appeared there. And all they have was, in 1 Kings 17:12, all they have was a handful of meat in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. And she further even said to Elijah, you know what? And behold, I'm gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that he may eat and die. See? 1 Kings 17:12. So, then came a strange, despite all this condition, then came a strange proposition from Elijah. He had heard all the woman said, you know, but he didn't stop him, you know. So, and here is Elijah's position in verse 13. And Elijah said unto her, fear not, see, go and do as thou. You see, there's always, for a miracle, there's always an instruction you have to obey. Amen? Amen. It's just all over the Bible, you know. And let us learn this thing and so on, as you know. Any promise of God, just follow it and it shall come to pass. So anyway, Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me. And after, make for thee and for thy son. I think that we want it. Didn't you really hear me? I said I'm making the last meal, right? For me and my son. So, but what happened right there, you know? Verse 14 says, for thus said the Lord, let us say, God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not fail, shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. The miracle, the inexhaustible resources of God will never fail until it's no longer needed. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. So shall it be to all of God's children. Whatever miracle you need, it shall be so in the name of the Lord. See? So, what a real test it must have been to the woman to take the last food in her house, give it to a stranger. You know, think about it, you know, to Elijah the prophet, instead of keeping eating for herself and her son. What a test. Well, the woman's obedience is a forceful lesson on giving too, you know. We learned so many things about this classic Bible story here, you know. Anyway, all the common laws of prudence who have forbidden her from doing what she will do now. I mean, any, you know, you see, you know, and, you know, the wisdom of man, of this world really, would have dictated that before she gave away the last meal to this stranger, she better make sure there was one less and so on. See, Bible says, has God not made foolish the wisdom of this world? Amen. Praise the Lord. He made foolish the wisdom of this world, you know. So anyway, and so anyway, however, the woman decided to obey. And so the only fine. In so doing, she intercepted the divine law of give and it shall be given to you. Amen.
Amen.
He never said, I mean, even right in you cannot change it. It's an unchangeable law of God, you know. As he ran into that law right there, you know. So when he obeyed the prophet, as she refused Elijah's appeal, what happened to her? She would have eaten her last meal and perished in the famine. How would that happen to him, to her, you know, as it turned out, really. After feeding Elijah, she returned to the barrel and lo, there was still meal in the bottom of the vessel. Likewise, the oil had not dismissed, you know. No matter how many times this woman went back there, there was always meal in the barrel and oil in the vessel, left and so on. What are we talking about? God's resources cannot be exhausted, amen? Praise the Lord Jesus. That's what they're talking about here, you know. So, now, even more about this thing about Elijah and so on, like I said, the story will never end until he finished, until when he preached his sermon to the to the Jews and so on in Revelation 11. Anyway, Elijah's faith in this matter is also noteworthy to us. He had been a man that went, when by appearances, he would surely have been disheartened upon his arrival at Zarephath. He doesn't go by appearances at all, not Elijah the prophet. No. So, he might have supposed that the Lord should send him to a family with means. But, no, and behold, the woman was apparently in desperate circumstances herself. However, Elijah was never disturbed by outward circumstances. Praise the Lord. In our New Testament parlance, we don't walk by sight, right? We walk by faith. Praise the Lord. See? Not by sight, but by faith. His thoughts were only upon those heard the Lord. You see? That's what he relied upon. He has heard the word of the Lord. That is more than good enough. Doesn't matter what the woman had or she didn't have, you know? So he depended upon those heard the Lord. You know, one prophecy said that the letter of the end time, they will not move until they hear thus say the Lord. Just stand still. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. We just learn that lesson. Where are we rushing to, you know, in our decision making? Where are you rushing to? Of ourselves, we can do nothing, right? It takes so much to learn to be still and hear from the Lord. Praise the Lord. And then you can be correct 100%. Praise the Lord Jesus. I don't think we are all there, but we are following after. Amen? Even though I don't guess that we are following after by God's grace. So we see that right there. So lesson for Elijah himself and so on, you know. So it depends upon God's said the law. It is not uncommon for a person. Now let us learn this lesson. For a person or anybody at all, you know, having received a clear call from God to go to do some errand or work for the law, when you get there, circumstances are anything, you know, but encouraging, really. It happens all the time, you know, and so there's another way of saying it. When God sends you somewhere, don't you ever think that they will spread a red carpet before you? Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Except most of the time, with the opposite and so on, you know, we have to hold on to God, hear the Lord, amen? Praise the Lord Jesus. And God will ever back up his word. Heaven and earth shall pass away, said the Lord. My word shall never pass away. Praise the Lord Jesus. That is the only thing that is starting in this world, you know. Man can promise you anything. God can bless you with anything. Those things can fail anytime. And it will fail unless God is in it. Praise the Lord. The only thing that will never fail is the promises of God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So that's all that Elijah depended upon, and it's teaching us a great lesson too. And we should do that all the time, you know. So anyway, it depends upon God, said the Lord only, and so on, you know. So there's little necessity for God to show. In some situation, right, one only needs to be certain that God sent you there. That's all you need. Just be sure that God asked you to do this thing, right? That is all you need to do, you know. So then all is well there, you know. So all is well. There is little necessity for God to show his power where everything is provided, right? So there's no need for you to do anything if everything is provided. But when the need arises, God is present to perform a miracle all the time. See? So if you want a miracle to take place, there must be a need for that miracle, and God will always do it for his people. God wants us to fall back on him for all our needs. Praise the Lord. He wants us to do that. He wants us to be ever dependent on him, just like the manna, right? And not on the arms of flesh. Now, another takeaway from Elijah's encounter with the woman or widow woman of Zarephath is that in the battle of faith, we can never rest on our laurels. Amen? You can never rest on past victory. You know, that's another lesson we have to learn. We should never be satisfied with past successes and do nothing to achieve further successes. Amen? It's right there. So don't fall back on your laurels or your past achievement. Thank God for them, really. And move on. Victory today does not mean that the devil will not attack tomorrow. We have to learn all these things. I'm going to see that in Elijah's life right now. Satan continually seeks to upset things for the people of God all the time. He does that, you know. He looks for a weak point and there he attacks, you know. So we have to learn not to depend on yesterday's laurels, but to just keep on fighting the good fight of faith. So was it then, even Elijah's life, what I'm saying now, so was it then that Satan struck the child of a woman with sickness and that boy died? So that is in 1 Kings 17:17. And it came to pass after these things that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick, and his sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him, meaning that he died, you know. Wow, what a strange thing. The man of faith like Elijah, you know, death could come into a house, into a home where Elijah was. Yeah, I can say Satan can strike anywhere, you know. Yeah, we have a great victory, but that will wash out anyway, you know. So people, they often wonder what I'm saying now. Sometimes, why is it that ministers of God, for example, who believe in divine healing, for example, are tested in their own bodies or those of their family? It happens all the time. I'm going to see another case later before I finish here, even of a grave one. No, before I finish here, I don't know. So the reason is so simple, is that the devil will attack wherever he can. That is his business, to attack God's people, right? So he will, you know. So it is up to God's children, me and you, or whosoever, you know, to meet the attack with courage. Amen? That's right. With courage, you know, and not to falter or waver one iota, you know, in our faith, you know. And the Bible gives us the Bible verse, don't waver. That is in James chapter 1, verse 6. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Verse 7 says, for let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man, he said, is unstable in all these ways. We are never to waver, like Elijah of old. Every cause for him to waver was there, but he stopped to just hear the Lord. It will never fail, and he found it to be so. So the battle may be hot at times. That's right. The pressure, terrific. Yes, we have all seen it one way or the other. But those who are like Elijah will never accept defeat or failure. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Don't accept defeat. The Bible says in all these things you are encountering, you are more than conquerors. Amen?
Amen.
So why take defeat for what? Why? You know, don't have to. The Bible says you are more than, no matter what you face, and God allows to come to your life, you are more than conqueror through him that loves you. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Now, in all probability, you know, Elijah had not been called before to let them know about the sickness of the boy until he died, right? So, it was a sin calculated by Satan to cause dismay, actually, you know. He didn't call him or 10 years, as far as we know, when the child was sick, when he died, right? The lad was the only child, of course. And the mother was taking it so hard, right? Of course, anybody will do that. So to her, there seemed to be some connection between Elijah's presence and the death of her child. That's what is going on in her head, you know, because you're going to see what he said right now, you know. Perhaps this sorrow had come upon her because of her past sins. Maybe Satan is good at that. Even children of God today, we accuse, he's accused of the brethren, right? Mm-hmm. You know, even with the sin forgiven under the blood of Jesus, unless you take your stand, he will still remind you. When the Bible says in Isaiah, somewhere in the eye, it said that even their sin and their iniquity, I will remember no more. The Bible says the Lord Jesus Christ, his blood has cleansed us from all sins. We are dead unto sins, we are alive unto righteousness. Praise the Lord. Mm-hmm. But this is for the Christians, of course, it does. But you stand your ground. Praise the Lord Jesus. Mm-hmm. So this woman was thinking, perhaps she saw how her own life contrasted with the consecrated life of the prophet Elijah. So all this was burdening his mind. She realized that she was a sinner. And furthermore, that there was probably some connection between sin and sickness. All this was going through her head, we imagine, you know. In her vexation, in 1 Kings 17:18, in her vexation, she said unto Elijah, "What have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Had thou come unto me to call my sin to remembrance and to slay my son?" See? You know, going up in our head and so on, you know. So anyway, today, many people become surprised and alarmed when strange and fiery trials come their way after they have received some special blessing from God. Why you? No, Bible says, "Cast it not strange," amen? Praise the Lord. These are lessons we have to learn, you know. Yes, you have got so great, God has done some great thing for us, for you. All of a sudden, there come these terrible trials and so on and that, you know. And they hardly know what to do to make of it, you know. They say to themselves, "Why did God allow this to happen? Or what did I do that this had to take place?" But such is no time, brethren, for self-incrimination. No. When you know what you know now, you know, no. Or, for one, to let doubts come into the heart concerning the providence of God. See, you stand your ground by the word of God. Amen? Praise the Lord. So, when trials and tribulations come, the thing to do is to fly to the throne of grace. You know, God has a solution. No matter what you face, God has a solution. He has power to solve every problem. Praise the Lord. And Elijah had one resource that never failed him. And he quickly turned to it, you know. For a case like he faced, like this, like he faced now, he must get away from unbelief, human weakness, and human despair, and human doubt. As he got away from that, you know, he took the child and got away from the woman who was so distracted with her grief. He carried him upstairs to the loft where he had, I'm paraphrasing that chapter now, in that 1 Kings 17, many miracles in there, you know, where he had spent many of his hours waiting on God. There is something about where you pray, you know. It was told of this British preacher, John Wesley, you know, certain evangelists, you know, they were visiting England at one time. So they went, to the place where John Wesley's place and so on. This man, I think he wake up every 5 o'clock in the morning and pray. You know, they had that story. So when they went to John Wesley's place, his place and so on, they went to the room where he used to stay, you know, and they met that. They were having some crusade in England and Europe, you know. So they went there and they knelt down in John Wesley's room where he prayed, amen. Of course, the outcome of the crusade was just so glorious. Praise the Lord. So Elijah, you know, he just took him to the place where he met with God every day. The bed where he lied down, meditating upon God's word, where he had the Lord said the Lord things and all that, you know. And he took the baby there, you know. There is something about the tangibility of the Spirit of God, you know. God's Spirit is tangible. Praise the Lord. See? So anyway, so let's go. So, you know, he took him there upon his bed and so on, you know. And the secret of Elijah's power was that he lived in a realm above the distraction of his day. Talk about distraction today. All over your house, unless God's children were really embedded in God's word, a billion things will distract you. Turn on the television, or what they call news, are just the satanic news, right? They won't talk about a crusade or somebody was in somewhere, or no, you won't hear the kind of that, you know. You won't hear about any what God is doing.
Mm-hmm.
It's only what the devil is doing, you know.
Yeah.
So negativity all over. What do you think? I have to keep to the word of God. So we say, So Elijah was impatient with any thought of failure or defeat. Amen. So you should be impatient too with any thought of failure or defeat. There in his room, he lay the child on the bed. That is in 1 Kings 17:20. And he cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourn? By slaying our son? The question. What is God that slew the widow's son? What is God? So the thing is this. Though Elijah was a man of faith, there were things that he did not know. Only God is omniscient, brethren. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Even in prophecy and so on, we only know in part. We prophesy in part. Amen? Praise the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
So you see that even men of God, men of faith, can sometimes be mistaken in their theology. It happens all the time, really. You know? Elijah was one of them, the greatest that ever lived to that time. He was mistaken in many things. I'm going to show you right now. He was mistaken in many things. Does it make him less than a man of God? Not really. He is not God. Was he just a man of God? Amen. He can make mistakes, you know. So, and a man that has miracles in his ministry is not necessarily correct in all his doctrine. Like Elijah was, he wasn't correct in all his doctrine. That and that is one of his errors, really, you know. Elijah, for example, was convinced that no other man left in Israel but him alone who had no bow to bear. He was wrong.
He was wrong.
The man of God, he was wrong,
yeah.
You know. So, but God told him he was wrong. That he had 7,000 other who have never bowed their knee to bear. That is the 1 Kings 19:18, if you want to go and look at it. Is that the end of Elijah's mistake? No. At another time, Elijah thought that he was the only man in the land that really believed God. But God said, Elijah, you are wrong again. God showed him a man by the name of Elisha, whose ministry in some ways was to even exceed his own. In a way, a man who will perform twice as many miracles as he did. And he was the one that even elected him. Go and choose Elisha and so that, you know. So we can go on and on like that, you know, about this thing. So Elijah thought that God had slain the widow's son. Elijah, God didn't say that man. God didn't do it. Praise God. Even it was like Job, right? Even Job, that's in the first book of the Bible, how even men can be mistaken at times, you know. So, you know, even Job, you know, what happened to Job? So Elijah was like Job here, who when he lost his children to the cyclone, said, the Lord give it, and the Lord take it. But at Job, God didn't take that child. Amen? The devil took it. And we know in the Bible, Job was right in that we are saying these things to know, so when things will happen to us, we can discern who is behind the word. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Because you don't know what is going on, then you can't take your stand, right? If you think God is doing it, who are you to withstand God? Amen? Right, so praise the Lord. So that's why we are talking about this thing. So now, Job was right in that the Lord had given, but it was the devil that took away. Job thought that he had many mistakes too. Job thought that the Lord had smitten him with boils, and he was wrong. But we are informed by the scripture that it was the devil that put the boils on Job. Let's see that one, Job 2:7. So when Satan fought from the presence of the Lord, see, and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown. So we can see that now, even man of God, you don't know all things either, you know. So Elijah thought that the Lord has caused the death of that boy, right? We know, however, that it is the devil that afflicts people with sickness. Acts 10:38 tells us that how God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, and he went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. You know, the Bible says in Acts 10:38, but we are told also that Satan had a power of death, Hebrews 2:14, without going there. So, but whatever the case might be for Elijah, at least he knew who had the power to do the healing, amen? Bottom line, praise the Lord, you know. So he carried the boy upstairs and said, and he said, "Oh Lord, my God, that I pray thee, let this child so come unto him again." Wow, what a bold faith, you know. So bold faith in the Lord and so on, that, you know. Then the miracle took place right there. The boy revived that, and life returned. Think about it, brethren. Elijah took up the child now and brought him down to the anguished mother, paraphrasing all this chapter of many miracles and so on. And think about this. This man's prayer, Elijah's prayer, there was no precedent to this time. For never before in history, up to that time, had a dead person been raised to life again. The time of Elijah, not as far as we know in the Bible, not a single time had anybody been raised from the dead again, you know. So, if you need something today, that never happened before, it doesn't mean if you need it, God can do it, amen? Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Don't come and say, oh, it never happened before. No. It's the God of inexhaustible resources, amen?
Yeah.
If you need it, and you call upon the Lord, it shall be done, amen? Praise the Lord Jesus. So, let us put that in our mind, in order our daily needs and so on, as you know. So, no precedent, but if you believe God, and it happened. So, and after that time, death has struck many millions of times, really, in the world. And never once had this lost its place, you know. Will death fail this time around, Elijah's time, will it? Absolutely, it did. And it did. For the first time in history, death was forced to give up its prey. And all because of what? Elijah was a man that refused to accept defeat, amen? All we are talking about now, stand your ground in the Lord. Praise the Lord. So, supernatural supply, God's resources inexhaustible. He lived in the realm of the supernatural. And so, are we called to live in the realm of the supernatural? You and I, we are here now. When the Lord was raised from the dead, we were raised all together with him. We have been made to sit together with him in the heavenly places, amen? You see, don't try to understand God. Just believe his word, amen? Don't come and ask me. Don't come and ask me, how am I sitting up there? God says you are sitting there. That's false truth, amen? Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
We are not called to understand God. You are called to believe God, amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. So if I'm sitting there with him, I'm there, period, you know? So praise the Lord. So anyway, what happened there? The result of this miracle is noteworthy. Look at the woman now. The boy's sickness and death brought anguish to the mother and so on. So, but when God did that miracle happen, the woman was encouraged and so on, you know, he glorified God. That's what the Lord did all of his ministry. When he did the miracle, there will be much joy, and so they will glorify God. Those who really love, they will glorify God. Anyway, the woman glorified God. I said, the word or the mouth in your mouth is truth, O Elijah. You know, so we see. Now, let's move on to our subject right now. Because Elijah, you can't finish telling his story, you know, so that's why it's about into that. Now, talking about the inexhaustible resources of God, right? Another widow in the Bible had the same kind of a miracle. It's so wonderful. Oil is involved too. Type of the anointing of the Lord. In 2 Kings 4:1, Bible says, a certain woman, a widow of one of the sons of the prophet, came to Elisha the prophet deep in distress. He was distressed. Her husband had died in death, and the creditors had come to take her two sons as bondmen. She was in desperate straits. Could Elijah help her? Oh yeah, Bible says yes. He could help her, you know. First, he asked her what she had in the house. That is in 2 Kings 4:2. And Elijah said unto her, "What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house?" And she said, "Thy handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil." We're talking about the inexhaustible resources of the Almighty God. See? Next, Elijah made a proposition, you know. Make a proposition. 2 Kings 4:3. Then he said, go, borrow these vessels abroad. You see, each miracle has an instruction to it, right? Borrow ye, vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels. Borrow not a few, he said. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy son, and shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. Give us instruction without me going through all of that and so on. So where? And the widow accepted the proposition anyway. So when you have done point, go and sell it and pay your debt and live on the rest. He told her, you know. So in 2 Kings 4:5, so she went for him and shut the door upon her and upon her son, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. Verse 6 says, and it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, there is not a vessel more, and the oil stopped. So we are saying, even if you have had a million more vessels, they will continue pouring, amen? God's resources are inexhaustible. Praise the Lord. They will continue in as much as it is needed. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And, so we see right there, you know. So as the miracle continued, and there were no more vessels to receive it, the oil stopped, the oil stayed. So we saw that right there. Again, oil signified the Holy Spirit himself, right? The other woman, oil was involved, talking about the anointing. Even the Spirit would and so on. When the Spirit of God moves among people, God will pour out his blessing as long as there is room to receive them. When all vessels are full, they all stay, you know, even the spiritual and so on like that, you know. In wrapping up this morning, you know, these inexhaustible resources of God. An important lesson on the working of miracles, let's talk about it yourself. One cannot receive more than he or she has faith for, really. And there are many examples in the Bible, really, you know. That let your faith go. Just let yourself go, you know. And just trust in the almighty power of the almighty. Bible says to the children of Israel, they limited the only one of Israel. Don't limit God, amen? Praise the Lord. Do not limit the only one of Israel, you know. Just let your faith go, you know, according to the word of God. So, you see, Elisha had told this woman why she should gather the vessels, you know, as well as, you know. She was to pour the oil from the full vessel into empty ones, right? If her faith was small, she would probably borrow only few vessels from few neighbors, right? But if her faith was large, she would take the trouble to visit her more distant friends, right? Well, as far as God was concerned, right? As always, God was always ready to bless abundantly, as indicated even by the word of the prophet, borrow not a few, amen? Praise the Lord. Don't borrow a few, borrow many. Praise the Lord. My resources are inexhaustible. You got to go and borrow. Don't borrow a few, borrow many, you know? And something like that, you know? I can never run out, the Lord said, you know? So anyway, so we don't have any how much you borrow, but we know she just got a lot. We leave it right there and so on. Another lesson to learn is that faith is an action. Faith is an act. And, even talking about limitation of miracles, you know, I think 2 Kings, I believe it is, you know, Elisha the prophet, this same Elisha was to die, you know, and the king of Israel visited him, you know. And, you know, Syria to tomorrow is the arch enemy of Israel, right? So what can I do for this king of Israel? Get them arrows, you know. Say, get the arrows and strike. They call it the arrows of deliverance. The arrow of the Lord's deliverance and the arrow, to deliver Syrians and so on. They take the arrow and strike them on the ground and something like, you know, this king was intended to do only 3 arrows on the ground. Oh, man, the man of God was so vexed, you know. Why? You could have taken at least 5 or 6, you know, you king of Israel. So you could have defeated and consumed the Syrians if you have taken at least 5 or 6 arrows. Now you take only 3. Only try will you defeat the Syrians. Maybe if you have done it, maybe Syria will not be there today. You don't know. Consume them. Connect to the scriptures. Amen. What are we talking about? Don't limit the only one of Israel. Amen. Mm-hmm. Let your faith go. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You can never exhaust his resources. That is the point. You can never exhaust God's resources. That is the point we're making there. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let's quickly round this up now. So anyway, so and uh, so So we see that word. Okay, so another lesson to learn. Faith is an act. Faith, must have expression. Our actions betray the amount of faith we have if you're not careful. So part of Elisha's instruction, like I said before, was that thou shalt shut the door, give her the instruction and things like that, you know. Miracles are not to be performed just anyhow. People wonder today why the Lord doesn't do many miracles in the face of the audience. Then in Great Crusades, God did many miracles, and God does miracles like when you have mass healing and things like that. But one of the greatest outstanding miracles are done behind closed doors. You know, because people don't even appreciate what God does, and they even mock it and things like that, you know. Raising of the dead, the Lord will just shake them all out, right? Maybe take only Peter, John, and James, right, with him and things like that, you know. Praise the Lord. You know, so we see that one. So anyway, God can do any miracle that is needed. Sometimes he doesn't do it for a show, you know. So now, let me say something here as I wrap it up here. Bible says here to the woman, another lesson here, what art thou in the house? Miracles of supply begin with what you and I have in hand sometimes, you know. Many Bible miracles illustrate this point. What do you have in hand? What do you have? Even the Zarephath woman had at least something, right? A little meal, right? And a little oil, right? He did, you know. This woman also had a little, you know, whatever it had. So the thing is this. The widow of Zarephath's miracle started with what she had in her hand. A little meal and oil in the cruse, right? When the same Elisha miraculously fed the people, and this is another miracle here, of God's being exhausted with here. So in 1 Kings 4, verse 42, here is this same Elisha. You know, he fed so many people and something like that, you know. So when the same Elisha miraculously fed people, he began with 20 loaves of barley. 2 Kings 4:42, read. And there came a man from Baasha, Elisha, and brought a man of God bread of the first fruits, 20 loaves of barley, and full ears of corn in the husk thereof. And he said, give unto the people that they may eat. Verse 43 said, and his servitor said, what should I set this before 100 men? You know, he said again, give the people that they may eat, for thus said the Lord, they shall eat and shall have left over. The same thing like thus said the Lord, just walk on thus said the Lord, the inexhaustible resources of the Almighty God. So he set it before them, and they did eat and left thereof according to the word of the Lord. Even right there, 20 loaves, all right, men and so on and that, you know, don't worry about it. Just thus said the Lord, they will not only eat, they will be left over. You know, so you saw that idea, you know, God resources are inexhaustible. And again, when the Lord turned the water into wine, talking about always have something in hand, right? You know, you don't even know, you know, have something in your heart. When the Lord turned the water into wine, he commanded that the pot be filled with water, right? That is in John 2. You can read it for yourself. And when they put it out, the water was turned wine and so on. Something in hand all the time. When the Lord fed the 5,000, our brother was thinking earlier on, you know, come and dine and so. When the Lord fed the 5,000, he began with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes, right? Let's read that in Matthew 14, chapter verse 16. But Jesus said unto them, they need not depart, meaning the people who are with him, give them to eat. And they said unto him, we have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He said, bring them hither to me. And he commanded a multitude to sit down on the grass, and took the 5 fishes and the 2 loaves and the 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and break and gave the loaves to his disciples, and the disciples to the multitude. Verse 20 says, and they did eat and were filled, and they took up of the fragments that remained 12 baskets
full, and they that had eaten were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. Do you know, if the old world had been that crusade, they would have still been eating and had been left over. God's resources are inexhaustible. Amen. Praise the Lord. They are inexhaustible. No, there are only 5,000 there. There could be 1,000,000 there. See, the same thing will happen. See, now again, you know, at one time, just like the people that are with Elisha, 20 loaves among, they asked the Lord, what is this among so many? You know, but he didn't listen to them. Now, another time, the Lord fed the 4,000, right? And that is in Matthew 15:34. When the Lord fed the 4,000, he received and broke 7 loaves and a few fishes. That is in Matthew 15. You can read it for yourself to save time and so on. What we are saying, the same thing, what happened in verse 37? And they did all eat and were filled, and they took up all the broken meat that was left, 7 baskets full. At one time, the Lord asked them, when I fed the 5,000, how many baskets were left? 12. When I fed the 4,000, how many? 7, you know. God's resources are inexhaustible. The same one who rendered the manna, I couldn't be exhausted until he was only hungry. The same one fed them here, doesn't matter what the number is. You cannot exhaust God's resources. So you relax, you know, in your demand, you know, from the Lord. And relax, whatever you need, just relax. God is there to meet them, for, you know, to meet your needs. So, and we are living in the times of national and world crisis right now. It is always good to have some food in the house, you know, that the Lord can multiply if need be. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. We don't know what's going to happen, but always, from what we have read in the Bible, have something. It could be, I don't know, it could be rice, it could be beans and so on. Always have something there. Even not need it, but in case there's a need, God is able to do it. And the tribulation thing need to hear this kind of thing, because we never can know. When they come by and say, what will happen? You know what I'm saying? You know, that believe God for the supernatural. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. So that's why it is there, and so that, you know. So now, so we see. So this is the truth of the tribulation saints who will be living at the time spoken of in Revelation 13. Let me read that to you, 13:16 of Revelation. And they curses all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand and or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had a mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. So that's why the Lord has warned us in finishing of this morning. So you see, don't let us limit the only one of Israel. No matter what your need may be, let's just trust the Lord. Amen. These things, they were written for our example and for our admonition, that we through the scriptures might have hope. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Let's talk about the things of the Lord. The natural thing will pull you down. The economy will pull you down. Now they just issued $2 trillion. What is the effect of this thing upon the economy? We don't know, you know. You can't just begin to print paper and call them money. You know, God will have to provide for people supernaturally as the age closes. Praise the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
So, but our God is more than able. It has fed 2.5 million people for 40 years. What is it? Amen. For God at the end of time. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen.
So our Lord Jesus Christ is the El Shaddai, amen, of the Old Testament. That's right. The El Shaddai of the Old Testament. You know, when the Lord God revealed himself to Abraham in Genesis 17:1, he used the Hebrew word El Shaddai, which the King James Version call it Almighty God, right? But it means in Hebrew the El Shaddai. El Shaddai means what? The all-sufficient one, or the God who is more than enough. Amen? Our God is the God of more than enough. The working of miracles in regard to the supernatural supply of the needs of God's people is a very practical matter, especially at this age process. The good news is this, though, that the Lord's ability to provide for his children in the time of need, even when miraculous means are required, is just the same today as in the Bible days. Amen. Behold, I am the Lord and I change it not. Praise the Lord. He is the Lord and he changes not. You know, let us wait daily for the coming of the Lord with the larger type of faith, for the supernatural and so on. And the Lord will sustain us as he did Elijah before the translation. Amen. Praise the Lord. Philippians, that scripture, Philippians 4:19. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Lord, we thank you, Father. The God of more than enough, the Jehovah Jireh of the Old Testament, the Lord Jesus Christ of the New Testament. Lord, we thank you. You told us a lot of lessons in Luke chapter 12. Thou art he that feedeth the ravens, Lord, O God, who do not have any bank account. They don't have any storage and so forth. Yeah, you can see them singing upon the treetop. When they wake up, they don't begin to mourn in the morning. They sing upon the branches of the trees now, you know, and all that, you know. He said, I am the same Jesus. Lord, you told us in Luke 12 also that, behold, the lily of the valley, I mean, the lily and so that, you know, and they don't even toy. And yet, Solomon, in all of his glory, not even arrayed as one of these. If God so clothes this ground, which is in the field today, and tomorrow it's in the oven, how much more will he even clothe us? Oh, we thank you because you will clothe your people. You are clothing your people. Not only with ordinary garments, we are clothed with the glory of God too. In the mighty name of Jesus. So we thank you, our God of more than enough, the Jehovah Jireh. So Lord, as we pray this morning, Lord, you know the standing of your children everywhere. Even as we stand here, we all represent one need or the other. So therefore, we commit this need to your hand this morning. That why read all these things, why show us all these things, to show that you are more than able. Oh Lord, you told us, even you know, to the very extent of the kingdom, fear not, little flock, it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Then if you want to give us the kingdom, how much more? Whatever we may need on this earth, it's God's way to give it unto us. So we claim them this morning, Lord, no matter what our need may be right here this morning, Lord, we claim them in the name of the Lord Jesus. And you are the God of abundance. I come that in my half life I have it more abundantly. Romans chapter 5 tells us that we reign as kings upon the earth in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Lord, we thank you for your abundant supply. So not only here, all over the earth now. There's a distress of nations right now. Pray for our country, Nigeria. Many of God's children in want of even just the daily bread. Heavenly Father, let there be a revelation, Lord, come unto all that is called by your name. The revelation of the Elijah type of faith, Lord, that you're going to make way for them where there's no way, Lord, in the name of the Lord. The supernatural kicking for God's children. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Bible says the Spirit of the Lord will lift up his standard. Lord God, supply the need of your saints all over the world. And let your name be glorified, Lord, that they may know, this world may know, that the Lord Jesus lives. Lord, and you live forever. As we go this morning, we thank you for the supply of our needs. And help us go there to encourage any of God's people, and even people of this time, Lord, as they may need to look unto the Lord. Thank you for blessing us. In Jesus' name, Father, we pray. Praise the Lord Jesus. Oh, my. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, dying.